Good morning. Welcome to Local Matters. I am Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I am super excited to have the Smoky Knights in the studio today. Lily and Anthony Nguyen. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're excited to be here.
So we just kind of were talking a little bit, and you guys don't often get to kind of tell your story. Every time people see you, they say, throw a guitar in your hand and say, sing.
It's either that or we're promoting something, you know. We don't usually just get to sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah, I'm excited to kind of, I've heard a little bit about your prior story, but tell me what has led you here. So you both enjoy music.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're not from the Upper Cumberland originally, so where'd you grow up?
I'm from Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Ascani?
Yes.
Yep. I'm also from Wisconsin. Janesville, so southern Wisconsin.
Okay, so you grew up in Wisconsin, and at 10 years old, what would people have said, Anthony, what would you have wanted to do with your life?
Engineering.
Yeah.
At 10 years old?
Oh, yeah. I was, like, determined to be an engineer from, like, the get-go.
I didn't even know that.
And those people who don't know Anthony, you kind of have longer hair. You're not like the typical like pocket protector kind of like, you know, button down shirt kind of guy.
I definitely stood out among the engineering kids.
The nerdy math and science guys.
I'm really nerdy though. I mean, I'm super full blown nerd.
So Lily, what about you? What were your plans at like 10 years old?
At 10 years old, I probably wanted to be a pop star.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I got really nervous. I don't know. I would get stage fright.
Were you
as I got older?
Were you the kind that like, so I can't sing to save my life, but one Christmas I had none of my front teeth. And so my parents would like put me on like the fireplace and sing All I Want for Christmas is my, you know, like teeth, they thought it was the cutest thing. And, you know, I'm like, this is horrible. Were you that kind of person that you just like love to go, like, you know, have a hairbrush as your microphone and dance around? And
yeah, for one Christmas, I got like my own karaoke machine and it was the greatest thing ever.
Do you still have that in your life at the moment?
I don't. Karaoke not machine? Anymore.
So for those who don't know, the two of you are married.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And how long have you guys been married?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years. So you've been doing the music thing together before that.
Yes.
At any point were you like, how can we, is it scary to make the band thing work and a marriage work? And this is a lot to invest into each other.
Oh, yeah.
We're always with each other 24/7 pretty much.
Always.
Always.
Just.
Yeah.
And how, I mean, and how does that, is there times where it's like this, what are we doing?
It's definitely tough to find like, you know, a balance between like your home life and relationship and then like a business relationship as well. So
the
like it takes a lot of work and a lot of time.
So you grew up in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And so where, at what point, Anthony, did you kind of get into the music world?
It wasn't till college really that I started. I learned guitar in college, and then I like after learning guitar I kind of realized, hey, I kind of want to sing some stuff and try this out. And I would play these, like, I don't know, I would do farmers markets and open mic nights in Milwaukee, and it was a really like a late bloomer type thing, because I was already in engineering school and I thought, hey, it'd be really cool to do music on the side and like just I don't know, write some songs. And I would write poetry and write this, I don't know, it was definitely.
Which is so the complete opposite side of the brain is from engineering is to write poetry and tap into a creative side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely a weird thing to go from like my programming homework to writing poetry and playing like guitar in a park.
So. Yeah. So but I think sometimes people need all those outlets. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to kind of systematically do programming, do, you know, HTML or whatnot or whatever language, and to kind of go through the systems of what a right answer and a wrong answer in the math and science world, but then to kind of get the creative, like, you know, rhyming and flowing of things is definitely tapping into kind of your whole system.
Right. And I had always been involved in music like my whole life. I had done like band class and I had done marching band, and I had, you know, played some, my dad was a drummer growing up, so I would play his drum set every now and then, but I didn't start to take music seriously until I was in college. And then I you know, after learning guitar, meeting up with some other musicians, I started to think, hey, this might actually be like a real possibility for me to do. And I post YouTube videos and things like that. I've deleted all of those since then.
So no one can
find them.
Yeah, they're not out there.
No one can go back. So did you end up finishing school?
I did. Yeah. I graduated from Milwaukee School of Engineering with my bachelor's in electrical engineering. And I did actually work for 6 years as a professional engineer before leaving that to do music.
And so, Lily, you were the kind to just kind of perform for your family and friends growing up.
Yeah.
Were you in the choir in school and kind of were you did you do musicals and stuff?
I did a musical 1 year. I was in show choir for 2 years and choir like my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so did you think that this would be, I mean, at what point did you think I could probably realistically, because you kind of have this dream at 10 and a lot of mm-hmm. kids have this like quote unquote unrealistic dream. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to buckle down and maybe this isn't really what I'm going to do in life and make money off of this. Mm-hmm. So at some point, did you ever stray away from the fact that you thought music was going to be your path?
Definitely. Yeah. I went to Tech and got my psychology degree.
Tennessee Tech?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tennessee okay. Tech. And yeah, that was 2019 when I graduated. And then after that, we released our album, our first mm-hmm. album, Burning Bridges. But I definitely didn't think I could do this full time. It was just always like a hobby.
Yeah. So what motivated you to go into psychology?
I don't know. I always just found it interesting.
Yeah. Which yeah. I kind of think that maybe that would help with songwriting. Mm-hmm. Just kind of tapping into the way people feel about certain things and emotions.
A lot of emotions. Yeah. Yeah. Understanding it.
I think that songwriting to me seems like the most difficult thing in the entire world. I honestly, do you know how people say like, oh my gosh, math, like, oh, I can't do math like that. I used to teach math. I was a high school math teacher. Mm-hmm. I love it. And to me, that's what I feel about songwriting. Like, it just sounds so scary.
Like, does it make sense?
Yes.
Like, how does
how do you know what the next line to put in there is? Like,
Lily's very good at tapping into emotions to put into our music. So that's honestly, the Smoky Nights wouldn't have original music if it weren't for what Lily does to it. Mm-hmm. So it's I think it's just like a rare thing to be able to kind of, you know, put into words some feelings, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, but I'm guessing that psychology background might kind of help you. When do you think, do you guys remember the time you wrote your first song? How old were you?
I was 16.
That sounds, yeah. You're like Taylor Swift.
It was not very good.
Was it about boys in your like, you know, high school class?
Yeah, yeah, it was. But honestly, my first album when I was terrible. It was not a good album. But it was
Whole album at 16 or just a song?
Yeah, no, I wrote my first, how old was I? 17 when I wrote the, yeah, I was 17 when I finished my first album, but wow. It was not very good. And I have taken it down from all major platforms online because I'm just like, yikes, I actually have like decent music out right now.
Have you ever retweaked any of that music to
no.
It's not. It's not,
like, nah.
It's not salvageable.
It was like a stepping stone to do what I do now.
Yeah. And
I
had like a very similar experience. Mine, you know, was 18. I had written a few songs and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do an album and I'm going to put this out there. And I got with some friends and we recorded it in a, I don't know,
a basement or something.
It wasn't like a basement. It was just like this extra bedroom. And he put up like egg carton stuff.
Yeah,
and
soundproofing.
We're like, yeah, let's record it in here. And that was in Milwaukee. And I had like 5 or 6 songs. I didn't even know about distribution. I didn't put it online anywhere. I was just like, yeah, I've got CD copies, guys. Like, you know,
yeah,
check this out.
But didn't you retweet one of those songs? Because we used that bridge for that one of the songs that you wrote,
yeah.
In Pressure Now.
We've definitely taken some of the...
His songs were better.
...material from my old stuff to put into the Smoky Nights music. Whether it's like words and bridges and chords and things like that. But yeah, I mean, we've reused it for sure.
So what brought you... You started off in Wisconsin. What brought you... And it's you maybe came down here for college, Lily.
Yep.
And so was it just to come to Tech that brought you down here?
The weather.
Yes.
And I love hiking.
Yes.
Yeah, Wisconsin's freezing cold.
I'm a Michigan girl myself.
Oh,
I went to school in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And so...
The UP?
Yes, the UP. When I first moved down here, I would say the UP and people would say, what does that mean? I don't know what that
is. That's where my mom is from, actually, originally from the UP.
Which is beautiful in the summer. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a snow girl, so no. I don't like that at all. So, and what brought you down here, Anthony?
Lily.
Yes.
But,
okay.
But yeah, we wanted somewhere that was warmer than Wisconsin, and we both love the outdoors and hiking. The first time we visited Tennessee,
we did Nashville and the Smokies,
and after just seeing a little bit of what Tennessee had to offer, we just fell in love with it. And
so, was music what brought you together in the first place, or yes. was it just and so you start playing together before necessarily you were dating, or
yeah, okay. we were just doing a little open mic night coffee shop in Green Bay and met up there.
Well, my mom was like, hey, there's this coffee shop that's doing open mic nights and you need to get out there and sing for people. And I was like, all right, I'll check it out. And then Anthony was, when I walked in, he was playing music and I was like, oh, he's really good. And so I just kept going every Friday. And eventually I think it was like the third Friday, we finally said hi to each other.
Did you feel like, oh, he's better than me. I can't compare to what he's at.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, definitely. He's playing guitar. Like, I could barely play guitar at that point, I feel like. But I was like, no, like, we could offer different, I don't know, different things.
Were you in awe of her, of like, oh, she's so good, I don't know that I could compare with her?
Well, when we,
no, he,
when
we he's had, like, I know.
No. When we had first met, I mean, I think Lily was telling me that she was a singer, but she didn't do the open mic night yet. So she was like, can you play guitar for me, can you accompany me, and then I'll sing. And I said, sure, let's work something out. And mm-hmm. When I started playing a few chords, she would sing snippets of like Rihanna or Adele or other things.
I did a lot
and
of Adele.
Yeah, you were listening to Adele a lot.
Adele. Yeah,
big influence, right?
And you have quite the range, and so you can kind of take other genres and kind of make them your own and fit them into your vocal range.
Mm-hmm.
So it works out well. So you started just kind of like letting her, you were her sidekick
yeah,
a little bit.
I was the sidekick. And at that time I was still performing with another band. And so that, I guess I was playing shows with the other band and then also trying to accompany you. And it was very different, you know, because mm-hmm. the other band was all dudes. We were like a rock band, so just a garage rock.
We'll be back with the beginning of Smoky Nights in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Lily and Anthony Nguyen from the Smoky Nights Inn, and this is totally a different kind of vibe. We haven't even talked about music specifically much. So at what point did you think, okay, let's start a band. Let's have it be, you know, let's come up with a name. Let's do kind of, I mean, starting a band is a business, and running it kind of more legitimately than just like, hey, we're just playing guitar at open mic nights.
Yeah. Well, but with the two of us, we had been in Tennessee a little while and I had been working as an engineer, and I definitely have to give a shout here to a good friend, Carson Carell. He was a drummer that we worked with initially, and one of the founding members of the Smoky Nights. So we had all been doing open mic nights at Char, Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the open mic night organizers asked us and said, hey, what's the name of your group?
And we were like, So I randomly just said the Smoky Nights, right?
We kind of brainstormed for a minute and we said, we want something that sounds like Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because we're here in Tennessee.
Yeah, and we love the Smoky Mountains. And I was like, mm-hmm. it's nighttime, Smoky Nights. And then everyone's like, okay, that'll do. And then it just mm-hmm. kind of stuck.
I think when I first heard about you guys, I didn't really even know you were a local band because it does sound legitimate. You have a logo. You have you have run it as a business.
Yes.
And you've developed it into more than just doing some open mic nights.
Yes. Honestly, so Carson, Lily, and I had played together for a couple years, even doing shows locally before we started to take that next step to turn it into a business. So it was about two, maybe 3 years before we even went to that step, right?
Yeah, and I think the big stepping stone was that we started writing our own original music as a band, and then we're like, okay, let's take this more seriously because people are actually requesting our original music at shows, so...
And that, and knowing Smoky Nights specifically to what you guys are.
Yes. I think it was, we were better able to put a brand out there, a logo, a website and everything when we had started to take ourselves more seriously and write this original music and, figure out our original sound. You know, we love, having the violin and the mandolin and the acoustic guitar and the, you know, everything kind of having that folksy sound.
Mm-hmm. And the mandolin is the little guitar that you I'm not a music person. But it's what you play, Lily, right?
Yes.
And it does, it is kind of a unique flavor for local bands because they don't have that very often, and so that kind of sets you apart.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you have a conversation at some point or really think, okay, Let's think about the direction that this is going. Let's think, do we need to take this more seriously?
Yeah, I think we had a, it feels like it was so long ago.
It wasn't that long ago.
I think we had a serious conversation. No, it's been almost 3 years now.
Almost 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Anthony, this is what you're doing full time now.
That's right, yeah.
You guys are all in on Smoky Nights.
All in, yep.
And then tell me about that. The decision to leave a full-time job.
It was at the beginning of 2019, we had started writing our own music. We wanted to get in studio, like a studio in Nashville. We wanted to do some proper recordings. And then we just realized that all of the aspects of music would take a lot more time than just free time, you know, and that's...
Well, you had no free time.
Yeah, I mean...
You were working and then... during the week and then working on the weekends with the Smoky Nights, and it just got to be too much, and we started getting more shows, and we're like,
at first we're only getting booked maybe one night a week, and then we started getting booked two nights a week, and then we started getting booked three nights a week, and so it was, you know, you can't burn both ends of the candle.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And our biggest concern was making sure that we made enough money to pay rent.
Right, of course.
And once we figured that out, we were like, hey, we can do this. It was a little bit sketchy at first, but
So is the drummer still in with you guys? The original drummer?
Carson ended up leaving the Smoky Nights a little while ago, I think a year and a half ago. And then we brought on a drummer from Sparta, Derek Lane.
So when you run a business like this, and sometimes you have a fiddle player, sometimes you have other instruments that come in, those are like having employees, essentially, correct?
Yeah.
And so how, I don't think anybody ever thinks of the business aspect of music. They think that they come out to 37 Cedar on a Friday night and you guys are just there and playing and you get your tips and that's it. I think that's another element that people don't understand sometimes is that,
there's
tips aspect. And I'm going to put it out there for you guys because you go and you're getting paid, an hourly rate from the venue that you're at, but in some cases you might have five people out there and you're splitting that hourly rate amongst five people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as well. So,
and that's, you're only paying for the amount that you're there playing. Yeah. You're not paid for the time that it takes you to set up or the time that it takes you to prepare and practice and write your own music. And so, the tip aspect, and like I said, they did not tell me to say this. I'm just going to throw it out there for them. That's really important is that you guys are trying to provide music for this Upper Cumberland and change kind of the cultural layout here. And you need to be supported by the local environment as well. People love to come out and see you, but they are kind of getting Garth Brooks can charge $250 for his tickets. You're not charging any tickets, but then that's where people need to support the local musicians.
I mean, occasionally right. we do. Occasionally we do some ticketed events.
That's usually through a specific venue.
Right, like Stonehouse though. Winery or Burlap Room in Smithville. But like, most of the time we don't do mm-hmm. ticketed events. And yeah, tips are definitely important for us because there is a lot that goes on behind the scenes. And that's part of the reason why we decided to go full time with music is because it's not just... It's not even just the writing and playing music, but I mean, there's the finances. I have like a million spreadsheets for this. There's keeping track of contractors and employees that work with us, booking shows. Lily does a lot of booking, and we have to book not only the in-state stuff, but then out-of-state tours. That's all done by us.
And figuring out, I'm sure, again, with the finance sheets open, figuring out what states have different financial aspects of taxes and all those kind of things.
Yeah.
So where have you learned, what resources have you used to learn how to run a band as a business over the last couple of years?
Oh, we're kind of just shooting in the dark. No.
Yeah, kind of though.
No, Google.com.
Google is a great resource. Yes. I don't know. It kind of, you learn as you go. You know, I think that's one of the big things, because 2 years ago we had no idea how to run a band as a business. And it's been a big learning process for us, and all the different aspects that come together. Marketing, we had to learn a better way to reach people locally and out of state. So marketing is a really big thing. Social media, like kind of hand in hand with that.
Facebook is like our best friend with that.
Yeah. Well, and how did you, do you have... like a mentor band that you've talked with, other people who have kind of been through this? Because I do think that seems very difficult. So how do you make Smoky Nights grow to out of state? It's like, okay, you are known here, and maybe you can expand outside the Upper Cumberland a little bit to Nashville, Knoxville, Chattanooga, but to get somebody in Wisconsin, and maybe
we did have the advantage of having a little bit of support back there through family, since we're, you know, originally from Wisconsin. It wasn't the hardest thing ever to get some shows out there, but it was definitely a challenge, to reach out to venues that we'd never been to before, or cities that we'd never even been to before in Wisconsin, because it's not like we only play in our hometowns. We do a whole, tour out there when we go. So we definitely had to reach out to some new faces, new people, new venues. But we did have some help from family back home. So, we can't minimize that, because it was, we already had kind of a little network set up in Wisconsin. So
we'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I am Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Lily and Anthony Wynn from the Smoky Nights Inn. And hey. So you guys just did release a new album recently. So that was probably kind of your COVID thing, is working on a new mm-hmm. album, mm-hmm. Waking Up in Wonderland. So tell me about the process of even going about, did you already know people with a studio? How do you even budget and know that you can produce an album, and how does that all work out?
We had to do a lot of research.
Yeah, we since our first album was recorded in Nashville, and we liked the studios out there, and we just wanted a new experience, and we thought, hey, let's look around. And we found Fame down in Muscle Shoals, and when we listened to some of their demos and heard the artists that they had recorded down there, we were just blown away.
They thinking, have so much history there too. Like, you walk in and it just like feels.
Aretha was here. Whoa.
Alicia Keys was here. Like, whoa. I'm Etta playing James. The same piano that she was playing on. Like, that's
wow.
crazy. Yeah.
Was that a moment of feeling like, wow, we made it?
Well, when we went to tour that studio, we looked at each other and thought, hey, yeah, we have to do our album here.
Yeah, it just felt right.
Yeah. So how did you even get to the point where you're like, okay, we're going to make another album. We have enough original music. This can make it. This can be legit. How did you even get to the point of thinking, okay, we're going to get back in the studio?
Well, after writing Burning Bridges, Lily, you kept writing. Like, you just kept going and going.
I never stop. I never stop. I have like a million voice memos in my phone. It's crazy.
Because you wrote, let's see, you started writing Waves and Power, and then I wrote Pressure like the month after Burning Bridges dropped. So it was all of a sudden we had three new songs, and we thought, hey, this 1 month later, we have three new songs. Let's try and do another one. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to make sure that we kept the original stuff rolling, that we kept getting material out for everybody to listen to. And the goal was for actually to get Waking Up in Wonderland out in 2020. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's close, you know?
You know, it's like another year. But we got it out.
Everyone just blocks out the past. We're just, yeah, it was pretty close.
Yeah. So you guys are not from the MySpace generation, are you? Are you a little bit older, Anthony?
I'm a little older, but I still didn't have a MySpace. Okay.
So what do you think, how do you think that the world of music is now, and music sharing and all that kind of stuff? How do you think it's easy to get your music out there into the hands of people?
I think it's better and it's worse now. Mm-hmm. It's better in that anyone can go through a distributor and get their music out to platforms worldwide. I mean, you can be in a town of 20 people in your basement and release music to a worldwide audience, which mm-hmm. you couldn't do before. So that's amazing. These streaming platforms have helped smaller musicians get heard. But then it's also worse in that there's just an immense amount of competition out there.
So much music out there. Mm-hmm.
There's so much to sort through and to sift through. And if you don't, if you don't know who we are, chances are you're not going to find out unless we're in that area or pushing to the music to a specific audience. So it's in some ways more challenging to try and make it or try and get heard.
Well, and Lily, you mentioned kind of making sure that you guys were making enough money to pay your rent. Mm-hmm. And so how do you make sure that, okay, you release this new album and to get your music out, you kind of got to put it on platforms like Spotify or wherever to get, allow people to listen. But then you're not making any money off that.
No, we're not.
So that doesn't help pay the bills. Do you find that people want to support the local musicians and they say, oh, I like this, I want to go find and buy their album?
I would hope so. I mean, I think so. That's why we have physical copies. Like, we got so many CDs so we can sell them and actually make cash off of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The physical media is definitely more of a profit for a musician than digital. Unless you're somebody like Ed Sheeran and you have a billion streams on a song, you're not making much from that.
Then you can make money from that. But yeah.
But yeah, for a local musician, for a local act like us or Caleb and Leanne or somebody, physical media is.
So have you, not to go too far into the details of what you guys do, but have you had any investors that have helped you kind of put this last, I mean, I'm guessing putting together an album is a costly venture, and that's a huge risk to think, okay, we're going to have all these copies of physical album, you know, physical CDs made, and hopefully cross our fingers that we can sell these. How do you financially figure out that you can front that money?
We had some offers for investors, definitely, and we've had a lot of, you know.
And we were going to take their offers, but then
thankfully, I had some money saved up.
We had saved money.
Saved up money from my engineering days, and we ended up using that to finance both of these first albums. So.
That's and in the business world, it's pretty admirable, the people that can bootstrap themselves and not have to take out those investors. I think that that's such a scary thing to do.
It's a scary feeling for sure.
Mm-hmm. And feeling like you might lose a little bit of ownership and giving kind of. And I would imagine more in the creative world of what you guys are doing is that you love the control over your creative aspects.
We do.
And you're not you don't want to necessarily lose that.
Right.
So album's out, how's it been going? How are people what was the reaction to the music?
We've gotten a really positive feedback to Waking Up in Wonderland. We're really thankful, and it's the people in Cookeville and the surrounding community have been so supportive of us releasing new music. So it's just awesome to live here and get to share our music here.
In case you're just joining us, we have Lily and Anthony Nguyen from the Smoky Nights, and we've been talking about Waking Up in Wonderland, your new album that is out. Actually, somebody had told me, I have a podcast called Power by Her, and they said the Smoky Nights have a song called Power. You need to listen to it and see if that could be a theme song for you. And
yes.
So I checked that out. And so where can people find the CD if they want to actually buy a physical copy?
At any of our shows.
You can find us at our shows, or we have an online store at thesmokynights.com.
Okay.
Where you can buy physical merch.
Awesome. And so I'm excited to see kind of where this goes. What's the future look like for the Smoky Nights? So you've had some band members change over. Like you said, mm-hmm. your original drummer has changed. Mm-hmm. Are you kind of the two anchors that you think will hold the Smoky Nights together and other people can kind of go in and out?
Yeah, that's definitely what the LLC says, right?
Well, yeah, Lily and I do write the majority of the music. So, I mean, as long as we've got each other.
And our duo shows, we do a lot of that.
But I won't discount it. I mean, the other musicians we work with are so, so talented, and, mm-hmm. and we love playing with them. So Derek and Eric are huge members of the band. And, you know, in the future, if we bring on, you know, bass, electric guitar, viola, trumpet, saxophone, whoever. I mean, we love working with talented musicians, and they bring such a unique flavor to the sound of the Smoky Nights.
And I'm going to pause right there for a second. Lily, you did say that's what the LLC says. So most people probably don't realize right. that you're an actual registered business, that Smoky Nights is an yeah. LLC. And so there's that actual, you know, paperwork of a partnership agreement between the two of you. And, mm-hmm. and there are legal aspects of running a band. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just really excited because I think in the Upper Cumberland, you know, a lot of people that play local music, probably not many of them are incorporated.
No, I don't think that. I don't think many are. And it took us forever to do it. We kept pushing it off and pushing it off, and we finally did it. And it was definitely a headache because we're like, I don't know how to do this.
But I mean, neither of us knew how to set up an LLC.
We figured it out, though. And
it probably wasn't as terrible as you thought it was going to be.
No.
So would you encourage other local musicians to do that and to kind of protect, especially if they're doing
if they're doing it full time, right? I would say yes.
And they're doing their own original music that they need to kind of take care of and protect mm-hmm. themselves. That's what forming, you know, a business entity is a protection of yourself and your assets that you're mm-hmm. you're putting out there. Mm-hmm. So, Smoky Nights, the two of you guys, where do in 5 years, what's going to happen? Where are you guys going
to
be?
We're hoping to take this music to just, you know, reach a really big audience everywhere. Not just touring throughout Tennessee, touring throughout Wisconsin, even the whole Midwest.
I went on tour. I want to play all different kinds of stages.
It would be really cool, maybe to be an opening act.
Our next step is to figure out who we can open for.
So the sky's the limit. The world, there's no barriers. Who do you want to open for? Who would be the dream?
The dream. I don't know.
Bruno Mars.
Yeah, Bruno Mars is awesome.
That's. I think that you speak into. You have to say those. I mean, I know it
you
sounds
have to
ridiculous,
say those out loud.
But I. Somebody had asked me if you could interview anybody, who would you do? And I said, I think Dolly Parton would be pretty cool. And like people kind of laughed at me, but I'm like, who cares? Like, you know, you have the connections that could possibly get to the right place and, you know, speak it into existence.
Lake Street Dive.
I was about to say that. Yeah, Lake Street Dive would be awesome.
Of Monsters and Men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting to see.
Right, Bryce Vine is what Derek would say. We just saw him in Ludacris at Tech.
Oh, concert. Yeah. So how can people can go to thesmokynights.com mm-hmm. to buy the CD?
Yes.
What are your social media handles?
It's just at The Smoky Nights.
On Instagram and Facebook.
And if you're looking for it, there's no E in Smoky. So it's like The Smoky Mountains.
Okay. So no E.
S-M-O-K-Y.
S-M-O-K.
And we do have a TikTok now.
Oh, look at that.
Check it out again.
Do we get to see dance moves on there or just
not yet? Okay.
You dance on TikTok, right?
No, I do like outfit things.
I'll dance on TikTok.
Yeah. Outfits of the day.
Yeah, actually, we do have some dancing.
Okay. There you go. So find them on TikTok. How can people find, if they want to find your next show, how can people find where they can see you?
On our website.
Yep, the website has
a whole list of shows for the next couple
There's
of
a
months.
Shows tab. You can just click on shows and.
So any big shows in November or December that you're looking forward to that you want people to come out to?
Yeah. We're going to be at Hi-Fi Clyde's in Chattanooga on November 6th. And then we'll be in Knoxville.
Preservation Pub in Knoxville.
Yep. Pres Pub on the 17th and 18th. I think that's a Wednesday and Thursday, right?
Yes.
Yep, mm-hmm. that is.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to have people come out and support you. Do you get a lot of Upper Cumberland people coming out?
We actually do.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, go out and see the Smoky Nights, find them where they're at, and support your local musicians. Thanks, guys.